having said that, we are going to start in the book of Daniel tonight. I have tried, I don't know. I like getting in the book of Daniel and the prophetic books. It's really neat to get in there and, you know, mysteries. I love trying to figure things out. I've never exactly been good at riddles and things of that nature. But when you start understanding some of this has already taken place, it turns out a little easier. I know people are probably still trying to make everything that's happened in the Bible still to happen. It doesn't work out that way. There are several things we need to be looking at. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. We'll start there. And we'll go to verse 31. Okay, now, King Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. And he believes so much in the power of the supernatural, he has told all of his wise men, all of his sages throughout his entire kingdom, that if no one can come up with his dream and tell him what he has seen, he's going to kill them all. And up to this point, none of them can figure out how to tell him his own dream. But he refuses to tell them. However, Daniel has said, I will tell you the dream because God will give me the dream. And God gives him the dream. And that's where we pick up at in verse 31. He says, you, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was caught without hands, which struck the image of its on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron and the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whenever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over all of them. You are the head of this king, you are this head of gold. This is the kingdom of Babylon. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all of the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of that iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And as much as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Okay, so what we've got here is we've got the Babylonian Empire. I believe what we're seeing, we're obviously not seeing the entire history of the world. I believe what we are seeing is the major empires that will have a direct impact upon Israel. Okay? And we're going to talk about more of what Daniel saw here later, but all of these governments will actually have a direct impact on Israel. The governments include, well, first off, Babylon, the most glorious of them all there. The Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, and then at the very end, we have a mixture of Republic and the Democracy. Okay? what that boils down to is a democracy basically lets anybody make the decision. You could have a total moron and he's calling the shots. He doesn't have to have, he or she does not have to have any wisdom. They are just suddenly given power, but never taught how to use it. Never taught business practices. Never taught world diplomacy. They're never taught any of this stuff. It's just how they feel. So that's why it's a mixture. It's a mixture of lack of knowledge and control with the authority and the power. Okay? If you don't understand what I'm talking about, that is exactly what we are living in today. We are a republic, we are not a democracy, but yet we act as a democracy and we allow anybody 33 years of age and older, is it 30 or 35, isn't it? 35 years in age and older, run. But yet they do not have to have any real world knowledge. You can just go on and be the power. And if you think I'm kidding, look at our current status of as a country. Not even an American citizen by many people's standards. And I'll share that. I may be one of them. But it just goes to prove, because what Daniel was seeing here and what Daniel was trying to get him to understand is this form of government will be the weakest out of all of them. But yet it's going to have a certain amount of strength of the Roman Republic. See, the Roman Empire was the greatest empire as far as longevity. Has been the longest running period. And even though it went through several different phases, several different changes throughout its course, I think it was like 1,000 years or something, it had strength on its side. It always had the strength of the military. They would always conquer, they crushed. And if you look back in history, you'll see when Rome went in, they took over, okay? And the United States and governments that are currently in the world like this right now, which, you know, we're still trying to say that it's the one world government, you know, everybody's going to get along, and it's not going to really be that. It's actually the one world government is we're all going to be trying to control each other, I believe, more than anything. And the European Union is not the one world government because everybody keeps saying, well, there's 10 heads. We haven't even got the book of Revelation yet, so I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. There's 10 heads, 10 little horns, blah, blah, blah. That means there's 10 kings, 10 countries. Well, there's already more than that in the European Union long ago. So it's not really the European Union. So now let's turn over to Daniel chapter 7. God has been given Daniel a lot of last days information. Now you got to understand, he's giving him information not only the last days, but currently where Daniel's at. Daniel's in prison. This is pertaining to Israel. There's even another prophet, a vision Daniel has of a ram and a goat. I don't believe that all of it pertains to the end, but there are certain aspects of it that we'll pick up in the book of Revelation as well. But some of the things we need to keep in mind is God is still showing Daniel certain things. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 2. Daniel spoke saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand up. On 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in it, this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Okay, we're going to stop there real quick. Okay. Let's go back. The first one was like a lion. Okay, the Babylonian Empire, anytime you look at Babylonian art or artifacts, you will always see the head of a king on a lion with wings. I believe what this represents as far as the wings were plucked off of it, it was made to stand up, that it was the most obnoxious, prideful creature on the planet is that which walks upright on two legs. Man. Later you'll read about Belshazzar being humbled by God and being sent out for a time to live as a beast. He lost his mind and went mad. So this is the Babylonian Empire. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side. This is the Medo-Persian Empire. You had two sides came in. The being raised up on the one side meant that the one side of the Persian Medo-Persian Empire would rise up in dominance. The ribs, the only thing I can figure out so far, that maybe some of you have heard different things, I haven't really been able to decide, find one particular thing, is they were just blood hungry, thirsty. They were bloodthirsty, and they wanted to keep devouring and conquering more and more and more. And thus, after this, I looked, and there was another beast, a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, let's see, I believe it's in chapter 9 or 8. Daniel has a vision of a ram and a goat, and there being a prominent horn. This next animal is the Grecian Empire, Greece, Alexander the Great. He would be the one who would be the prominent voice in this. And then after Alexander the Great died, the entire Grecian empire was split up among four generals. And they went in four different directions, then took control. That's what the four heads were. They were the four generals that would take it over. The four wings represented the four winds, the four directions that they went. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. The Roman government that was coming out, Rome, and I guess I wasn't totally privy to this or didn't know it, Rome originally had kings. There were a total of 7 kings that ruled Rome, starting with Romulus. They ruled for about 200 years, and then that's when they switched over to being a republic. They had gotten so strong, and at this point, they began conquering the world. It's actually said that Alexander the Great died weeping because there was no more world to conquer. He thought he had conquered it all. And that's how he died, mourning because he didn't have anything else that he could take over. The Roman Empire would later prove that he had just scratched the surface, because the Roman Empire would span places where it was never even thought of. They'd go to Scotland and England, and further and other places as well. All you could do is go look at maps, look in the back of your Bible, you'll see wherever they went. Because they took whatever was Greek, they took whatever had been Babylonian, they took whatever had been Persian, and they ruled that. So the Roman Empire became the most devastating. They'd go in with their military machine, they'd devastate a country, they'd take it over, they'd enslave its people. They did pretty much whatever they wanted. And because of this, they became feared and dreaded. Now, like I said, all of these particular beasts that Daniel has seen, Daniel's seeing the four in particular that had a great impact upon Israel. Okay? The Babylonians, they were in prison to them right then. The Medes and Persians, Cyrus the Great would eventually come. You have Darius, you have all these, and they would remain as part of these empires until their 70 years of captivity were up. So then we go to the Greeks. This is where you get the Hellenistic views, the Hellenistic Jews. There's a lot of things brought over, beliefs brought into the Jewish customs. Then you have the Romans. Romans were ruling Judea at the time Christ was born. So there's a lot of things that we're looking at that these people had a great impact upon Israel. That's why any Bible teacher worth his weight is going to tell you, keep your eyes on Israel. God has a destiny for Israel. Okay? You've got to keep your eyes on Israel because, again, that fifth, the fifth empire, the feet, the mix, was a part, even though they weren't part of the beast that we see here, that Daniel had the vision of, it was would ultimately be a part of that mix that would be used to establish present-day Israel. Okay? Because if it were not for the United States, Great Britain, and some of the other countries that came together and said, hey, they deserve their land back. If it were not for that government, Israel would not probably have their land that they have now. All right. So now we go to verse 9. And Daniel goes on to say, I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days, this is God the Father, till the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A firing stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. And I watched, and then because of the sound of the pompous words, this will be, again, this one horn, when we get into the book of Revelation later, we will read more about the pompous words, the arrogance. And I'm telling you, folks, I just personally cannot get over the arrogance of people today. It's the spirit of Antichrist. I do have personal beliefs on some things and just watching, but there are things we have got to watch because there's things that are happening we can't stop. There are things that are happening that we have no idea how they're happening, why they're happening. And part of this is what we're reading. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. In other words, these countries, these governments, these forms of rule that had been would eventually be destroyed, but God took away their right to rule. Because remember, Christ comes back as a thousand-year reign. He sets up his kingdom, but there's certain aspects of it that he's going to allow to continue. It's just that one that got mixed, he destroys completely. Because that's where the rock hit first. And I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Now we're talking about Jesus. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and the glory and a kingdom. Then all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So Daniel is getting a glimpse into history for our sakes. He's getting the future, though. He's seeing things that are going to happen. So now we skip down to verse 17. Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. Again, kings, kingdoms. verse 19. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And the ten horns that were on its head and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. All right, now we start talking about the end time things. We're starting to get into what the book of Revelation starts talking about. Again, you got to remember there's a blend here. Some of this stuff happened, but there's also the prophetic of not only Daniel's future, but our future. Until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. That's how we know it's not talking about the exact time that Daniel's living in. He's judged. Jesus is not ruling on the earth yet. He hasn't established his kingdom. So this is obvious a time yet to come. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it into pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from his kingdom. And another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Here's a good sign for us to be paying attention to. This ruler will rise up. He's going to rise up seemingly out of everything else, but to get there, I believe he's going to take out three other kings, three other rulers to get there. But he's going to start speaking obnoxious, pompous, arrogant words against God. He's going to be an abomination. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Starting to sound a little familiar, isn't it? Trying to change times, trying to change law. Laws are being passed without even going through the proper channels. Not only in this country, but in many countries. Just as we were talking here a little bit ago, Russia's refusing to leave Crimea, saying they can't. And according to what Harold was telling me, Ukraine is finally hunkering down for a fight. So we got a lot of stuff happening. And we're going to start seeing more and more. Like I said, you probably should be paying attention to what Israel's doing and saying about things. Then the saints shall be given into his hand. So if you've ever wondered, will we go, let's see, pre-trib, post, or pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? It says the saints are given into his hand. Me, clearly, it says we're going to get to experience a little bit of stuff. But it's for a time and times and a half. Now, if we get into, you break it down into, we haven't even gotten into the vision of, or the dream of weeks, the vision of weeks. But what we are getting into is this is 3.5 years, which goes right back into the book of Revelation, that there will be 3.5 years of peace, seemingly peace, and then he breaks the covenant that he makes. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to continue and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion shall serve and obey him. So we've seen just a little bit of a glimpse into what Daniel is seeing as our end times. Jesus will come back. He will establish a kingdom. If you've ever wondered where we pick up that, why things continued even on, why Jesus has a kingdom for 1,000 years, and then I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit in the book of Revelation, but most of us in here have gotten into it, where the dragon is released, Satan is released to war against the saints one last time, But there's 1,000 years of reign that Christ is on the earth. Christ is the King of Kings. And he still has a government. It is set up, but it is set up with the saints being the governors. Okay? This is where those other forms of government come into play. There are, I believe it's 4 major forms of government. You have the monarchy, the oligarchy, aristocracy. And the fourth one is just, it's on my notes sitting on my desk. I didn't transfer it over to this page. But there are 4, but the last one is the republic, democracy. It is what Rome was. And that is what will be eliminated. The other ones will take place because, one, there's a king. We'll have the King of Kings. He will appoint governors who are men and women of prominence. And then we're going to see all these other people. It's talking about the peoples of the earth. For me personally, I've often wondered, what are they talking about? We got 1,000 years. We got people that don't know Christ. Aren't you going to want to come to serve Christ if he's the king? And that's our point, is God will go through anything to make sure people don't go to hell. Okay? And again, keeping in mind that I personally do not believe hell is the fire and brimstone that we're reading. That, the Bible says, is reserved for the angels and his cohorts. Every time that Jesus talks about hell in reference to a person going there, he said it's utter darkness. It's weeping. It's wailing. It's gnashing of teeth. The best thing I can describe for you folks is to go to a nursing home, go to the dementia ward, and close your eyes. And if you've never been there, I've had to actually install security doors to keep the people in. But that's what they do. That really will break your heart. They scream. They wail. And they are biting. Some of them have to wear masks because they will bite you. Yeah. Yeah. So imagine that. But in utter darkness and knowing you will never see light again. It is an eternal torment is what it is. Going with the knowledge that all you had to do was recognize Jesus Christ. So keeping, like I said, there's some of that you got to keep in mind. We've, again, gotten it in our head that the devil is all this. The devil is, he's just a leader of all this stuff. He's not omnipotent. He's not everywhere. So he has to have generals and so forth and so on. We're not getting into demonology tonight, teaching you about princes and the powers and powers of the air, because there's different levels. But some of that stuff we're keeping in mind is God has shown Daniel 600 years before Christ what would take place. As a matter of fact, the vision of the goat and the ram, a lot of historians see that and they cannot believe that God could, because they deny the supernatural power of God, that God could tell somebody 400 years before it ever happened with such detail that it would happen, and yet it did. So that's why a lot of people are arguing that it couldn't have been written any sooner than 200 BC, that it was written after the fact, because of how accurate Daniel gave it. So what we have to keep in mind is Daniel saw our day. He saw a day when the government would become, as Daniel put it, strong. Right now at the moment, you know, the United States, militarily wise, cannot be stood up against. But yet we're weak. He said it would be a nation divided, it would be a government divided. Today we are in a government divided. We are in a country that is divided against itself. We're being pitted Christians against Gentiles, against everybody else. We're being pitted black against white, man against woman, straight against homosexual. Every time you turn around, we're being divided. They're finding another way to divide us. Vegan versus carnivores. It's not hard to find it, is it? But we're not the only country that this is happening to. Countries all around the world are facing the same instability. The problem is, the reason they are, is because they've patterned themselves after us. A lot of these countries wanted to be like the United States, but they didn't have manpower. They didn't have the resources. They didn't have this or that, and they failed. We try to establish our country on foreign shores. You know, reading, sometimes I hate doing too much investigating, because then you start reading blogs from people in other countries, and you just want to go to that country and smack them for being stupid. I was trying to, you know, just go down through there and list, find some of the like the most violent empires in the world. And one had the United States listed as number one, as the most brutal empire in the entire history of the world. And yeah, it's just totally not true. Yeah, I'm not saying we did things right, but we're not the brutal that won the Roman Empire. Out of the top 10 most evil leaders of the world, Rome had 3 out of 10. And we're talking in the ranks of Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, people of that nature, okay? Of course, we had Caligula, we had, which there's a couple of them, I can't remember their names now. You can see their ugly little sculptures. Which one? No, that wasn't one of them. But there was a few of them that, when you read the atrocities, the people they had murdered, you know, they had Pol Pot. Was that his name? They had him, Pol Pot. They had him. They had Idi Amin. This is the kind of people that Rome had ruling them. Okay. One Caesar had his wife murdered, his mother murdered, all of his family murdered. Countless other people. Then we get into the ones that really went nuts. Like I said, Caligula, you just can't imagine how evil that man was. And he was the ruler of Rome when Peter said, "Honor the king." You know how hard that would have been? How hard it would have been to have honored him. They said actually the greatest of was the greatest Roman Empire, or emperor, was Julius Caesar. When you look at it in historical perspectives. But even he was murdered by his best friend. He did so much good, they said, for Rome, but yet Brutus and others were afraid that he would let the dictatorship go to his head. And so they killed him. So out of that, 3 out of the top 10 most evil rulers. This list didn't even have, this one particular list didn't even have Adolf. Didn't even have Hitler on there yet. Didn't have Stalin. Didn't have any of the modern days. Most of these were more ancient. But more modern lists had Idi Amin, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. There's a few. There was another general who was actually more influential in having all the Jews killed. I believe he said when he died that he was hung by Israel, and he said his greatest joy was knowing that 5 million Jews died at his hand. I can tell you where he's at. I promise you, there's weeping and wailing right now. So we've seen the devastation. all of these governments, communism still has a certain amount of the mixture. It's got the human element, whereas all these others, it was this is this. The king made a decree, you couldn't change it. Today, we make a law, it's just for reference anyhow, right? It's kind of like speed limits. Or school zone, or no texting. I mean, that's definitely got to be just for reference because of the number of people I still see texting driving down the road. But back in Daniel's time and some of these other, when they made a decree, it was law. Today, we make the law. So therefore, we do not really think we have to abide by them. I'm not going to go any further there because I want to, we'll probably have to start picking up and getting more references into Revelation and start seeing some things. But again, even when you, if you read Revelation, keep in mind, John has gotten a great big picture of things he's seeing. He's seeing things that have happened, okay? God's telling John a story from here to here. It doesn't mean that we're going to see a dragon in the sky who's going to take his tail and take out a third of the stars because it already happened. That was when Lucifer fell and he took a third of the host of heaven. Okay? So there's a lot of things you need to keep in mind there that those things had already happened and God is now trying to tie them together in a story because that's the way he made us. I think, to be honest with you, we love stories. We do. And we love trying to figure them out. I know I do. You got a problem? Let's figure this out. That's the men, right? Wives, you know what I'm talking about. You go to your husband, you go out, you just want to talk. What's he want to do? He wants to figure it out and fix it. Oh, here's your problem. Oh, really? So, but we're going to, like I said, we're going to take time and start looking more into that. There are, it just, some of this depends on things you were taught. All I did pretty much was read the Bible to you and showed you what history has to say about the things. I read one, it was actually a diagram. It showed the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and it had Europe being the feet. Well, that would be Rome, Roman mix, and that's what has come across here. It's across the world right now. There's very few countries that are not practicing some form of a republic with a little bit of democracy. I mean, for crying out, even the Arab countries that are ruled by sultans and kings, they're still practicing a little bit of it, which is showing actually a bit of a weakness. Whereas when a king says something, it happens, and that's the law. Today, again, it's whether or not we like that we want to live by it. So, all right, let's go ahead and stand. Like I said, sometimes the difficult part of studying anything in prophecy is everybody's got a different view of it. Sometimes someone might say, well, no, that's not a mix of human. You know, this isn't that, this isn't that. Well, if you start looking and realize that God was actually telling him the story over and over, many times over, God tells somebody something two and three times. God showed me, told me many, many times before he ever told me to start a ministry. He showed me that it was going to happen. I just didn't understand it. I had no idea what it meant that I was standing behind I thought it was a lectern at the time. I didn't know it was a pulpit. Didn't know what I'm going to minister as others have not meant. Until finally, and then even when pretty much, now that let's sit back and look at it, it was plain in the nose on my face. God said, you're going to preach, just don't go out and get a tent yet. Didn't know that that time the church I was attending was going to fold, the preacher was going to run off, and at that particular moment, God was going to say, now you take it. So, didn't know any of that. But now that I look back, it was plain. Some of this, like I said, we can look back and see that it's plain that they're tied together. Because even this beast, these four different beasts that Daniel has seen, we're going to read about them again in Revelation, but we're not going to see four different beasts. We're only going to see one beast. Same vision, same thing. Daniel saw it in one beast. God condensed it because most of it had already happened and he was living part of it. So God showed only one person that mix, and it was a Gentile king. So, all right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness to us. Now, Lord, as we have gotten this, we're starting into the prophetic of the return of Christ, Lord. I pray, one, Father, first off, that we discern it properly, that we do not go running off saying that Jesus Christ is coming back tomorrow, because he could very well come back before we get home tonight. Lord, I thank you right now that you're helping us all to discern it. You're helping us all to receive and process, even though we may have been brought up different, even though we may have a different outlook on it. Father, that we will actually listen to what you're saying to us through your word. And now, Lord, I pray for everybody in here. I bless them, Father, as they go about the rest of their work week. Lord, I pray right now that you go before them and you close doors that the devil is opening to cause them strife and contention this week. Lord, I thank you that you're bringing peace to their enemies, that their enemies, even people at work that are bad-mouthing them, will have nothing to say. I bless them again, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.